Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our reading from Isaiah, we hear from King Ahaz, who is beset on one side from the Assyrians and by the other side by the Ephraimites, finds himself truly between a rock and a hard place. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Ask a sign of me, sign of hope." And it could be, and I love this phrase, it can be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. Ask what you will. And Ahaz refuses. In the midst of God asking him to ask for a sign, I love this, he quotes God's scripture. "I will not put the Lord my God to the test." And so Isaiah says, "Why must you weary God? If you will not ask of God a sign, God will give you a sign." A young woman is with child and bears a son, and shall call him Emmanuel. In the midst of Israel's destruction, God sends not an army. God sends not victory or might or power, but a sign of hope. Long after, God will send that sign to God's people. In the Gospel of Matthew, it begins, "Now, the birth of the Messiah happened this way." No longer is it King Ahaz, but instead we have Joseph, who I think is really underrated in the Christmas story. I really do. I mean, even think of how when Bill sets up the creche over here, you have Mary and Jesus. You have the guy playing the flute that we've never actually figured out what he is or what he's doing. You have shepherds. You have the wise men over there. And poor Joseph is sitting kind of off in the back, waiting for something to do. But Joseph, too, sees a sign and hears hope. You remember, he has engaged to Mary, a young girl. And he finds out that she is pregnant. And our gospel says, in such a nice and wonderful way, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, which could result in stoning, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this thing, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said what angels always say, "Joseph, do not be afraid. Take this woman as your wife, and she will bear you a son." Now, in our gospel, in our lesson from Isaiah, and again and again and again, we hear them say, "Look, the virgin shall conceive a son and bear him, and you shall call him Emmanuel." So why in the world in our gospel for today does it say, "And Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She will bear you a son." And you are, and what does he do? He names him. As I know, right? Just like always, no one can take instructions. You're supposed to name him Emmanuel, God with us. And what do you name him? Jesus. God saves. Yeshua. Joshua is Jesus' name. Well, it seems strange, but in some ways it is so fitting for this word of hope that comes as a child. We call him Jesus for all kinds of reasons, but thinking of it theologically, we spend most of our time thinking about, as Christian people, especially if you're kind of on the evangelical side, about Jesus who will blank us, save us. Fritz isn't here, so I'll say it. Save us from what? That's where we concentrate a lot of our time and effort. We think about salvation and expiation of our sins and all of these kinds of things. We worry more about that, especially even in our creeds. But it's no wonder that the real promise begins in Isaiah with a different name, one that we don't spend as much time on. God with us, dwelling with us. That is so cool. Does it move? Yes. Ha! That is a very cool toy. I like it. God is with you. So why concentrate so much on salvation when we have the ultimate promise that comes first to God's people and then to Joseph and then to us, that God will be with us? But with us how? That's the real amazing and remarkable thing. In our Bible study class, we talked about this quite a little bit. There's all kinds of ways that the Christian church has tried to figure out how God has saved us, but also how God has been with us. And so there has come a whole centuries-long argument about how it is that God is with us. It's a whole bunch of heresies. I love that. I got out my book of heresies to look them all up. And some people believe that God is with us in Jesus as God is human and divine, right? This baby, this child. Some folks will say that Jesus is fully divine but only looks human. God in human form, sort of like an extended Halloween costume. And that's okay. For other folks, they divide Jesus right in half, right down the middle. He's half human, half divine. A little bit like a satyr. Half human, half horse. Little of both. That's a sad one, isn't it? It's the only simile I could come up with. For other people, Jesus is only fully human. But God really likes him. So how is God with us then? Luther, being Luther, and a bunch of other Protestants and Catholic theologians finally came up with a different way to think of it. It's a mind-bending, strange way that God is with us. God is fully human in Jesus, which means that God knows our pain and our suffering, our joys, our triumphs, our challenges, our impatience, our deepest fears, our hopes, and our dreams. I bet that there was a Sunday when Jesus was in synagogue and he dropped his toy and it shot out from under the pew. And his mother had to run after it and chase it down. Some people think of Jesus, the baby, as if he never left the creche. Right? Jesus is sort of frozen in time. But Luther says, and I love this about this vision of God with us, that Jesus, I won't use the graphic language that Luther used, but, you know, Jesus had to have his diapers changed, and he screamed and yelled, and he interrupted people in the middle of their sermon. He did all kinds of things as a child, the same kinds of things that we do and that we love. That he loved and hurt and hoped as every child. And every one of us does. Fully human. And yet fully divine. Made of the stuff of God. How else can we explain a love so profound and so deep and so unreachable for us? This agape who will give himself to heal the leper and love the blind man and give his life on the cross. Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us, in a way that even we cannot begin to imagine. This child, this baby, this offspring of a faithful man and a faithful woman. As we enter into these last days of Advent, can you believe it's Christmas next Sunday? And a young woman will bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And everything will change. Because the very God who stood with Abraham and Sarai, who came in the form of a burning bush with Moses, who led God's people out of Egypt into the promised land, who stood with God's people over time, with Bonhoeffer, with Martin Luther King Jr., and with us, is truly Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.